The views and opinions expressed in this episode are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Gwen and Mercy Academy High School, the Sisters of Mercy, or any related affiliate.
So it was a great way to, again, be a leader with multiple people and having the responsibility while juggling multiple things at once.
Welcome back to the Monarch Impact Podcast. My name is Brenna Scollin and I'm a junior at Gwynedd.
And I'm Erin Remel Clements. I'm the Director of Alumni Engagement at Gwynedd.
Today we have Alex Nunn on the podcast. She graduated from Gwynedd in 2010 and graduated from Drexel University with a Bachelor of Science degree in film and video production, and she was her school's mascot, Mari the Magnificent. She's worked for the Philadelphia Phillies, Eagles, and 76ers as a video producer, and she's been in charge of the social media accounts. She currently works for ESPN as a feature producer and helps create storyboards for documentaries and edit short features. Welcome, Alex.
What's up?
How's it going?
It's good. Well, I don't even, this is mind-blowing to me. I don't even know what room you're in. This has to be in.
No, this is down by the music room. You know, there's like three little small rooms outside the music room where like voice lessons and stuff happen. So that's where we are. So it already existed when you were here.
Still, though, you have no idea when I hear the things that you guys are doing now and how I just wish I would have had that when I was at Gwynedd.
It's pretty cool.
But it's awesome. I'm glad that it exists now because it gives more opportunities for girls to explore.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to see your face. This is Brenna.
Hi.
Hi.
So we're both going to tag team interview you today. We have actually an intern. Now we have interns for all our different departments. And so we have a different student who's an intern who edits all the podcasts. So it's like her job and she's in charge of like this fancy equipment that we have and everything. So it's pretty cool. I feel like that would have been you when we were at school. Like you would have been the podcast intern, the broadcast person, all of that.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I feel like when I was doing videos for Gwynedd, I was doing them at home on my little computer with my dinky like editing software, which was a nothing back then.
Yeah.
But there was nothing at school. Well, GMATV. And I don't even know. I know GMATV still exists, but we had like the really tiny camcorders. I mean, it was like a pocket thing. I'm sure it has to be technology wise now for you guys a lot different.
It's totally different. It used to be, you know, backstage. Have you ever been backstage where the like, workroom is? But then there's a tiny little closet. It was in the closet. And it was live every day in homeroom.
Oh, like you couldn't edit it?
No. It was live like on the smart boards. Like streamed live during homeroom.
Oh,
and then like if you had an announcement, you'd just run back there and be like, wait, can I get on?
So to Erin's point, yes, because a lot of times I would be operating the camera. Miss Moss, rest her soul. I was so sad that she passed, would be running the stream. And a lot of times because of the stairs that were near the closet door, if somebody had a last minute announcement, you could hear the footsteps of somebody sprinting around the corner. And I remember one time this underclassman tripped on the stairs because they were like, I have an announcement. And she blah, 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 blah. And the audio, you could hear it. Like people were texting me, is that girl okay? Cause I guess you could hear it through like the smart boards.
That's so funny.
So it sounds like it's not near the stairs, which is probably good.
It's well,
we don't have homeroom anymore. So
but
we
win.
Yeah, and we have a different, you want to tell her what WIN is?
So WIN is like after second period and then like before lunch and you go to homeroom and like you have to check in. And like that's when we show like the GMA TV.
But it's only like monthly?
Yeah, like it's not
big regular.
Of a deal. Like most people leave during WIN. I leave every day to do my internship. But you can do like study hall type stuff there.
I know. Homeroom breakfast parties and the yes, you still do the door decoration.
It depends on your teacher. Because last year, It was so fun. I loved homeroom.
Who'd you have last year?
Dr. Kyatt.
Oh, that is fun.
He's so fun.
He's a Latin teacher.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's different. But like, there's a green screen, and it's down in the old library, which is now called the Learning Commons. And Kate Fasano does it.
So
I feel like I need to come back for a tour to really. Because you're saying all these things, and I'm trying to envision what it looks like.
Yes. Anytime you're around, come by. And tomorrow we're unveiling the new wing. So it'll all be open and in use. So, yeah, anytime you want to come, just let me know, and I'll show you around.
What is your favorite memory of your time as a Gwinnett student?
That is a great question. There are a lot of things at Gwinnett that I really enjoyed. It's honestly very hard to pick one. And I think because it's hard to pick one, that just speaks to the volume of how great Gwinnett is. I'd have to say probably art classes. I know that's probably a unique answer, but I just remember as an art major taking honors art, and it was always the same group of girls. And for, gosh, I don't know, 45 minutes, maybe how long the class was. It's been a while, but it was a lengthy period, but it was almost a break from everything else that was going on in the school day. And from a creative standpoint, being a creative person, it was a great way to express myself. But it was almost like we had our secret bond of being art students, and we could be goofy and express ourselves in different ways. And I feel like out of all the memories, because obviously there's Mercy Day, there's the senior stuff that you look forward to, Kairos, like all these different things that I feel like people think of Gwinnett, but the art classes was truly a unique experience, which also kind of helped catapult, I think, part of my creativity and trying to think in those ways.
And you would have had Mrs. Hohenstein, who's still here.
Yes, I love that she's still there. That's great. Gosh, I remember she would get... because we were always really rowdy when we would come up with creative ideas, and we'd give her sometimes a hard time. She'd be, you know, come on guys, focus. Cause we were always such a creative bunch. Does she still have the really long gray hair?
Yep. She has it. She hasn't changed one bit, and she's still so lovely. And we do have one other part-time art teacher now too, because it's no longer limited to just, we don't have art majors anymore. Anybody can take art. Every freshman takes art for, you know, what is it, a trimester or a quarter?
Half.
Oh, well, you were a transfer student, so you didn't take it freshman year, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, they take it, like they do their cycle of art and music, and then you can take it anytime. So there's students who senior year, they take their first art class, which I think is really cool. That wasn't really an opportunity we had when we were students, because you had to kind of commit.
I do remember kind of the stress of committing. And making sure you're choosing the right one, because this is it, ladies, like for next four years, you're committing to be a certain type of major. But that's great that everybody gets an opportunity to have a little bit of everything, because I think that helps well round the personality and ideas of what do you want to do for the future. Right. I wish I would have had that. So that's great that that exists.
Yeah, it was cool, Brenna. We did like, it was like at the end of your freshman year, you took like art and music freshman year as like, you had to, but then you got to like apply to be an art major or a music major, and then you could like, I was a music and Latin double major, so I didn't take gym sophomore year because I took Latin and French and music, but then I dropped music senior year because I wanted to study. It's like it was just like a different, like you always just took art or music, like it wasn't like, you know, you had to, you didn't graduate like with a diploma saying you were like a music major or anything. It was just that you had committed to taking that class for the rest of forever. So it was pretty cool.
So you were the co-president of ambassadors during your years at Gwinnett. How did this help develop your leadership skills?
Well, it honestly, one of the best things that I did was being a part of ambassadors, I would have to say. And I think from a leadership perspective, it almost felt like a part-time job. That was a bad thing. It forced us to be a leader in the sense of, hey, you have to go to class, you have your homework. If you play a sport, you have to go to practice. And then, oh, by the way, open house is coming up in 2 weeks, and you have to help Mrs. Scott with admissions and start training students. And it was a lot of responsibility. And Mrs. Scott trusted me and Diana Kirk, who was the other co-president that year, to handle those responsibilities. And she would check in with us, but giving us the confidence to get those things done without, I guess, having somebody hold our hand. And I just remember when we would have seventh or eighth graders come for the day to shadow myself or Diana as the co-president. It was, again, the opportunity to be a leader of, you are the face of Gwynedd for the next 8 hours or so of the school day, and people trusting you to represent Gwynedd well, show them around, welcome them, make them feel comfortable, give them the idea of what Gwynedd is like, and let them make that choice to see if it's a good fit for them. But it was just a way to feel comfortable having responsibility and to be a role model, and having the underclassmen come to you for questions or advice of when they're about to give a tour on open house, you know, they come to Diana or myself. What do I say? How do I handle a situation with a parent or a prospective student? So it was a great way to, again, be a leader with multiple people and having the responsibility while juggling multiple things at once. I remember when the opportunity came up to be the co-president, it was one of those praying and like hoping, like I would go to mass. I really want to be co-president of ambassadors, like please. And I was so excited when Mrs. Scott picked myself and Diana. And there were interviews. Like I remember it was also kind of competitive. Like we would have multiple interviews in Mrs. Scott's office. So I'm just glad it worked out. I miss her, actually, Mrs. Scott. I'm at the point now where I just write on her Facebook wall, happy birthday. I need to reach out to her and see how she's doing, because I was pretty much keeping in contact with her for a while. And then obviously as time has moved on, just with work and everything, it's gotten crazy. But she is a great person. Great person.
Yeah, me and Brenna were just talking. We're both going to be this weekend. We have a new event as of a couple of years ago, accepted students mass and breakfast this weekend. So all of the eighth graders are going to be coming in. We'll both be here working that event. But yeah, Mrs. Scott's done a beautiful job, like really making it feels like a college now, you know, like you get accepted, you get to come see everybody, decide if you want to be here. So it's going to be really cool.
It's so fun, like, watching her, like, interact with the middle schoolers, because she gets, like, so locked in, and, like, she's really trying to, like, make them want to come to Gwynedd.
Yep. She, I think if we could pick, like, one person to give the Gwynedd Spirit Award, I think it would have to go to her.
Definitely.
Or I feel like I would, like, if she didn't have pom-poms in her hands, like, I feel like she needs them constantly, because she's always like, ah, Gwynedd, woo! That's great, though. The breakfast idea is really smart.
Yeah, that's really sweet. And, like, they're, all their families get to come in, and we'll do it in the new wing this year. So it's going to be really cool.
When did you guys start that?
Maybe 2 years ago, I want to say. This might be the third one.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Love that.
Oh. Out of all the clubs and sports you were involved in at Gwynedd, which one taught you the most valuable lessons?
Well, I think you guys know which one I'm going to pick. it has to be GMATB. That was kind of the first time I got involved with video and the TV side at Gwynedd. It was really the only thing when I was at Gwynedd where you could kind of get your hands on a camera and some type of experience to the TV world. And again, just being the president of it, Miss Moss trusting myself and Kristen Holzer to show up every morning, turn the camera on, get the stream ready, make sure the mics were working on the table, checking the stream connection. And I don't know, it just kind of like gave me the hope that if this is really fun now, what would it be like if I went to school for this? So it kind of sparked a little bit of a curiosity, I would say. And I think also started making a name for myself at Gwynedd. Like once I started getting really involved at GMATV, I got more comfortable about bringing my own camera to school. And then people were like, oh, why is this girl walking around with a camera? And then I would start documenting people. And luckily the teachers were comfortable with me bringing in a camera in a classroom. And then that just, again, opened the doors for Sister Pat and the marketing team asking me, hey, would you make a video for our open house? Or, hey, would you make a video for the auction? And they could have easily hired a video production company to do those things. I was just, gosh, a senior in high school, I was just learning how to make videos, but it was just the exposure and getting everybody to kind of, I guess, trust me to give it a whirl. So I am forever thankful for GMA TV.
So cool. And the girls still make so many of those like funny videos. Like they'll do like a hype video for Mercy Day or, you know, goofy things like that. And, you know, I tell them, you know, we used to have that. Like it's just like such a Gwynedd staple to have these hilarious videos of everybody running around the school and like doing all this stuff. I'm like, yeah, we used to do that when I was a student. And they'll be like, really? And to me, you know, for the listeners who don't know, Alex and I were at Gwynedd at the same time. And I can remember looking up to you, like being a sophomore and being like, oh my gosh, that girl, like she does all of that stuff. Like you to me are like the video girl of school and like always had your hand in everything. And it was like so cool to see everything come together. And it's cool to see the tradition really stick around, because you should see some of the funny videos that they do. I got to act in one this year it was an undercover boss. Catherine McCauley came to Gwynedd to be an undercover teacher. Yeah.
Oh my God, I remember that. That was so funny.
It was pretty fun. So yeah, we have a lot of fun with it. And you mentioned Kim Scott, you mentioned Lisa Hohenstein, but like, was there any one teacher or Miss Maz as well, who you connected with the most in your time at Gwynedd who really influenced you?
Yes. And it wasn't a teacher. Believe it or not, it was Sister Pat. And if you go into the yearbook, my senior year, which it's at my dad's house. So I was very sad. Like I was like, oh, let me go through the yearbook and just refresh my memory. And I couldn't find it. And it made me very sad, but I know it's in the basement, not the basement, my bedroom at home. But I don't know. I just really had a strong connection with her. And from a faith perspective, obviously the academics and the sports was really important at Gwynedd, but I just really connected to her from a faith, and she kind of honestly became one of my best buddies. And I know she would get mad when I would say that, because she's like, I'm a nun. Like I'm Sister Pat's best buddy. But I honestly felt like she was one of my best buddies in high school. And I don't know, I felt like I could get that goofy side out in her when she was usually very serious and stoic. And it was fun just kind of like, I don't know, talking to her about her day and what she was doing. And I remember we won like a cookout one year for the auction. So a bunch of us went over to her house with, was it Sister Mary that was in the guidance?
Yes, I think it was Sister Mary.
So, and they were roommates, which I thought was hysterical that they lived together. And we went over like one summer for a barbecue, and she's wearing her Phillies gear and she's making burgers for us. And I'm like, what is going on? Like totally different side of her. But for some reason, I can't really put my finger on it. I just had a really strong connection with her, and it was just a nice break from the classroom and just getting to know her. But if you look up my yearbook that year, which would have been 2010, I think in the fun facts section, it says like, who is Alex Nolan best friends with? And then if you go to like the answer chart, it's Sister Pat.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I know she's no longer at Gwynedd, is she? But she's still somewhat involved.
Yes, she's around. So this is, we have a Sister Pat here now. It's a different Sister Pat. So
oh,
Sister,
the whole time I thought she was talking about
Sister
teacher.
Pat Donlin. No, this is Sister Patricia Flynn. She was our vice president or vice principal, and then actually, I think it was my last year or two, she was the principal, and then she retired before our last. I think our last principal. And so, yes, she's around. She's actually coming tomorrow to the unveiling of the new wing. She's going to help bless the new wing with the other sisters. Sister Kathleen will be there, too, and a few others. But, yeah, I love seeing her. She comes to reunion. And every time she can tell me what my family's names are, ask about each of them, like, knows everything. And she's just, like, so thoughtful. And she's really funny, too. So I agree. Sister Pat is the best.
I'm glad she's still involved, because I feel like there are certain nuns or Sisters of Mercy that I think about when I think of Gwynedd, and she was definitely.
Yeah, she's actually got a really big job at the Marian, like the mother house now. I think she's kind of in charge of things over there for all the Sisters of Mercy in Marian. So Yeah, she's doing big things. What about like any other ways that Gwynedd, you like really prepared you for the future?
Yeah, I would say probably, again, like learning how to balance multiple things, because at Gwynedd, nobody ever said no. Like if you wanted to get involved with multiple clubs or activities or taking like AP classes, trying to challenge yourself, it was always either yes or apply like this time. There was never a no. So it was learning how to balance multiple things at once, which I think helped in college and also in the professional world. And honestly, I would say the one class in particular that really helped me moving forward was the communications class, which I don't know if it's different. It's probably a little different now than what it used to be when I took it. But when I first took it, I had no idea that it was going to be a public speaking class. When I saw the class rundown, I thought it was going to be video, media, more TV driven. And then I remember our first assignment was, hey, next week you have to get up and give a talk about XYZ. And I remember thinking to myself, I can't do this. I don't know how to public speak. And everybody was a little confused because, you know, I'm talkative, I'm bubbly, I like being around people. But for some reason, if you put me in front of a crowd and there's a bunch of eyeballs staring at me, I'm just not comfortable doing that. So it really challenged me to be comfortable learning how to talk in front of a crowd, which is a skill set that can apply to anything. And it was a skill set that I had no idea was going to be needed when I got into the professional world. Because a lot of times I'll have to talk in big meetings. I'll have to get up and explain certain things of a film that we're doing, which I never really thought was going to be a thing. I just assumed I'd be behind a camera or sitting in front of a computer. I would never have to talk in front of people. But it was a good learning experience because the first time I gave a speech, I kid you not, like the white Gwynedd polo soaked. Like I felt like I just got out of the shower because I was so nervous and I felt like I was going to throw up. And I was thinking to myself, what is everybody thinking in the room? Do people think that I'm not good at this? And it was, again, like a way to get confidence in yourself and your ideas and your thoughts. And that is one class that I don't know how I would be as a public speaker if I didn't have that class at Gwynedd.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think we have a communications class anymore, actually. We do a lot of public speaking in seminar class, which is kind of a catch-all for different media, like there's some financial stuff in there. There's communications and leadership and stuff like that. So we try to make kids get up and you know, speak and learn how to make a presentation and all of that. But yeah, I agree. A communications class is like so good. Did you have Mrs. Bradley for that?
You know who I had?
Mrs. Beckman.
Bingo. Mrs. Beckman.
Yeah. I remember her teaching that. But it's such a good skill. Like we all have to be able to express ourselves, even if you're a behind the scenes kind of person. You need to be able to interview for things. You need to be able to advocate for yourself. You need to be able to present an idea and have somebody buy into it. So that's a really good skill to have.
No question. And again, it's a skill that I don't think sometimes you don't think about. You think about more of the other skill sets that are more prevalent. But that one, I think, again, applies to anything, no matter what you're doing.
Absolutely.
So after Gwynedd, you attended Drexel University. How did Gwynedd really prepare you for college?
Well, again, going back to the communications class, like I had to talk in some of the classes at Drexel, which I felt more comfortable at that point expressing like my ideas when I was a film major. And again, when you go to college, and I'm sure every experience is different for everybody, but at Gwynedd, there was more accountability, like people checking in to make sure you did X, Y, Z. When you go to college, nobody is holding your hand. Nobody is looking over your shoulder to make sure you did your assignment or that you're going to class on time. You're kind of at that point your own adult. And I think Gwynedd just kind of gave us the foundation and the building blocks of, okay, it's time to fly the nest. Good luck, bon voyage. And I don't know, I wasn't nervous about going to school. I just felt like Gwynedd gave me not only the academic side, but the confidence to be a young woman on her own in the city of Philadelphia. And knowing like the decision-making process of making a schedule for myself, time management. Hey, I'm going to study for this exam, and then later I'm going to start working on this project, getting ahead of things, being proactive. And then just having, again, the confidence to get involved with things at Drexel, because, again, not a requirement. It's what you make of your college experience in terms of what you get involved with. And I just remember I had a lot of fun in high school getting involved with multiple things. And because of that exposure at Gwynedd, I knew that I wanted to get involved as much as I could at Drexel to just make it a memorable experience. But I will say my experience at Gwynedd was nothing has touched that. Like, college was great. But if I could go back again, I would choose high school. I
had a great time.
Oh my God. It was the best 4 years of my life. And a lot of people, I'll ask them, which do you like better, college or high school? And a lot of my friends that didn't go to Gwynedd, but other high schools, they'll pick college. And every time I'm like, no, going back to Gwynedd if I have to reincarnate myself, because it really was that awesome. Believe it or not. Yeah.
Wow.
To savor it, Brenna.
Savor it. Please savor it. It's just, it's the greatest place on earth. It really is.
Right now, like, everybody's got me stressed about midterms.
Midterms!
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I haven't taken them since freshman year because I was at a different school freshman year. I transferred last year. So, like, it was, first off, weird not having midterms and finals last year. And now it's going to be weird, like, getting used to that, like, hustle again. Because it's, like, basically for all my core classes. Thankfully, it's not for language because that would be really bad.
You'll be fine.
Here's the thing with midterms, though. If you can get through midterms in high school, which I have full confidence that you can, when you have exams in college, it feels like a piece of cake. And that's another thing about Gwynedd is, not that they stress you, but they put enough on your plate to kind of, like, test you a little bit and to really stretch your potential. And in college, I remember I had some friends that were stressed about midterms, and I'm like, oh, I got this. Like, I know how to prepare for a midterm or an exam. Like, no worries. And again, I don't think had I been challenged with midterms at Gwynedd, probably in college, I would have been more stressed out about it, or I would have been nervous, but it will help you. But don't worry, you got this.
Yeah, I'm just like, I'm thankful we don't have finals because I never really understood the point of finals because, like, after that, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, it's just like...
See, we used to have midterms and finals. Now it's just midterms. Yeah. But...
You had it harder, Aaron, apparently. My goodness.
I know. We really did. But it's nice because we go away on... Now Kairos is called Emmaus. It's slightly different. It's mostly the same. But 3 days instead of 4 days. And we go away on Emmaus during midterms. So the seniors don't have midterms. And then I go on Emmaus every year with the girls. And we have a blast. So you'll only have it for this year.
I won't ask you the location because I know that's a secret. That's a secret place on where to go. But after we're done this, I would be curious if it's at the same place.
It's not. Stella, I think, was destroyed in one of the storms, the Salamaris place. I know, it's so devastating. We used to go to the beach.
Like, just for a beach trip?
No, I mean, it was a religious retreat. But oh. It was at a convent on the beach, and it was so beautiful. But no, it's not a secret. We go to Malvern Retreat House.
Malvern's great, though. I've been to Malvern. We have some nice...
Yeah, it's nice. We have a really good time. It's always cold, so we don't do a whole lot of exploring the grounds because it's always in January. But it's my favorite. This will be my fifth time as an adult going, and I love it. We have such a good time. Mrs. Scott still goes. We have a good time. Miss Wilson, Mrs. Mitchell, all of the people who used to go still go.
That's great, and as they should, because they're great leaders in helping the girls when they go. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So at Drexel, you got your Bachelor's of Science degree in film and production. What led you to choosing this major?
Well, it's a long-winded answer, but I think we got time. So when I was a little girl, I was intrigued by my dad filming all of our birthday parties, the holidays, things of that sort. And I remember asking him, hey, do you think for my 7th birthday, can I be the one recording the party? And I remember touching the camera and thinking it was the coolest thing ever. And there was actually video of me, like, for the first time taking the camera. And you can hear my voice, which was very high pitched when I was a little girl. And you can hear me go, wow, because I just thought it was so cool. And it just more led into like a hobby after school, like making videos with friends and doing newscasts and projects and stuff. So then fast forward, you know, go to high school at Gwinnett and get involved with the video production side of things. But honestly, like when I was a freshman and sophomore, I did not even think about I'm going to go pursue this as a major or as a something in the professional world. I honestly thought I'm going to be a sports trainer because I was a tomboy. I played a bunch of sports growing up. I played sports at Gwinnett. So I started looking at curriculums and requirements in college to be a sports athletic trainer. And a lot of it was science, chemistry, biology, excuse me. And I think junior year is when you sign up for AP chemistry, I think, or honors chemistry, maybe. So I signed up for honors chemistry. Did not go so well. I didn't flunk because that would never happen at Gwinnett, but it was a really hard challenge for me. And I quickly realized just the chemistry class and other things that would be the day-to-day of a sports trainer. I was like, yeah, I don't know if this is going to be for me. So my dad actually was the one that said, why don't you go to school for film and television? Cause you love doing videos for Gwinnett. You love making videos outside of Gwinnett. And I said, I don't think that's possible. I never see a female holding a camera. I never see a female editing anything. The only time I see a female is when they're on the sideline doing the sideline report, which is a great, like, sideline reporters, much credit to them. That job is very hard and much respect. But to that point, only saw females in that role. So my dad was the one that really encouraged me to pursue my hobby and my passion as a career. So that's kind of what led me. And I think, again, getting involved at Gwinnett and having the exposure of making videos for the school, I think also gave me the confidence and believing my dad that this could be a career for me. So it was kind of the confidence of my father and the confidence of Gwinnett kind of married into one, I would say.
Great.
So just like how you were an ambassador at Gwinnett, you were an ambassador at Drexel for video and film. Could you tell us more about like what that job entailed?
Yeah. So I was actually, it wasn't necessarily film and video, but it was very much identical to ambassadors at Gwinnett, where you had to go through a lengthy interview process to make sure that you would represent the university in a positive light. And then you would go through training steps of, hey, you're going to be a tour guide for kids that are interested in coming to Drexel. You're going to take them around campus. And you had to memorize like what building was what. You had to memorize stats of the school. And again, it was just another opportunity to help sell the school and help get the word out that Drexel was a great place to go, regardless of what major you would be attending. And I just love meeting people because I love seeing expressions on people's faces when they see another, they see a certain building on campus. Or I don't know, I remember one time we were at the gym area and there was practice going on, and one of the students really wanted to get involved with intramurals for basketball. And I just remember, again, it sounds something really small, but that person was really excited to, I guess, like envision themselves like, oh, this could be me one day, like being involved in intramurals, which was great. But again, it was just an opportunity to like meet more people outside of my major, because other people that were giving tours were not necessarily film and video majors. They were different majors. And it was a good way to, again, represent the school and get involved in it all for 4 years. And yeah, it was good.
That's awesome. And I know you had a lot of school spirit because we found out that you were the mascot at Drexel, Mario the Magnificent. Tell us about what that was like.
Yeah. So one of my best friends, Dan, who was another film and video major, I remember our freshman year, we were coming out of class and he said, hey, I'm going to try out to be the mascot. And I said, you're going to do what? He's like, yeah, come on. It's going to be fun. And, I said, so what do you have to do to try out to be the mascot? He's like, oh, you got to come up with your own like 2-minute dance to whatever song you want to do. And I, for some reason, I remember I used to take dance when I was a kid before I got into sports. So I kind of thought about it. I'm like, man, like maybe I should try out. So I remember I was in my dorm room. I had obviously a roommate because you have to share a room your freshman year. So like one night, my roommate, who was a med student, she was in the library studying for her one of her exams. And so I started like rummaging through like mascot videos on YouTube. I'm like, this is actually kind of cool. So then I thought, all right, I got to come up with a song and I got to come up with my own choreography. So why I picked this song, I don't know why. I picked the Justin Bieber baby song where it's like, baby, baby. I don't know. So I came up with all these like random moves. And then I come to find out that you have to perform the choreography in front of the cheer and dance team. So these are actually like women that are really good at dancing. And then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. So then I'm starting to panic. And Dan said, you'll be fine. Like, you're going to be in a costume. Like, no one's going to see your face. You're going to be hiding anyway behind this suit. So I tried out and I thought I did horrible. And then I got a call the next day saying, hey, we'd love for you to be one of the mascots. I'm like, great. This is cool. So honestly, it was mostly at the basketball games is when the mascot would come out and do dances with the cheer team or try to be on the sideline and get the away team to like mess up during foul shots. Where we would do dances with the cheerleaders. Occasionally there would be times where we'd have to go to school events like open houses, alumni, sometimes outside companies would request the mascots to come. So for example, when the Sixers had Hip Hop, the bunny mascot, they asked the college mascots to come and like be a part of like Hip Hop's birthday party on like the basketball court. So that was fun. But it was cool because like nobody knew who you were in the suit. So like you could honestly do whatever you wanted, obviously respectfully, like representing the university in a good light, but you could just have so much fun with it. Like I remember we used to come up with ideas of like, what kind of skits can we do? So like one time we did like the Napoleon Dynamite dance in the suit. We saw, I think there was like a couple at a basketball game. You know how sometimes there's couples that just are very lovey-dovey, like they're not really watching
PDA.
They're like looking at each other and like holding, I don't know how to describe it, but you get what I'm saying. So yeah. I remember like going up to them and like trying to get the guy to like propose to the girl because you could tell that they were just like completely in love, like doing like funny stuff with people and kind of messing around and having fun. But it was I don't know, it was just kind of another outlet to express yourself and then get involved and meeting people from like a totally different world on campus. But if you ever have an opportunity, I would try out. It's fun.
That's cool. Did you have to, I know like I went to Syracuse and Otto the Orange was like a big deal. But you never knew who it was and like people couldn't reveal. Did you have to be it in secret or did your friends get to know that you were the mascot?
We were asked not to talk about it. And we could never obviously take the dragon head off, but a lot of times it kind of towards the end of like our junior senior year, people started like recognizing the mannerisms of like certain dragons. And I think it started like word getting out on who it was. Like Dan was very well known that he was the mascot because he had a certain way of moving in the suit. So people were like, oh, it has to be Dan. But I tried to keep it secret because I didn't want people knowing that I was involved in that way. But then obviously when I graduated.
Yeah, that it's like a big reveal.
Yeah, like guys, guess what? But again, like was not on my bucket list. Like I didn't go to college thinking, hey, let me try out to be the mascot. It just kind of happened. So it was cool.
That's very cool. I love that. So you've also been, you know, super involved in sports in other ways in like your career, NFL, MLB, Sports Illustrated, NBC. Where did that love for sports come from? You mentioned you played when you were growing up, but where did you really fall in love with sports?
That's a great question. Honestly, if I have to think back, it was probably when I was living in a neighborhood and I had a bunch of guys that were my neighbors, and it was trying to like keep up with them and be competitive. And I don't know, there was something about being a part of a team and this is going to sound awful. Like, if my mom was here, she'd be yelling at me for me saying this. Like, if my mom would say, hey, I want you to go put on this Easter dress, I'd be like, no, I want to go roll in the mud. And then I want to go shoot a bunch of baskets and go have fun. And I think it was kind of that rebel inside of me. Like, whatever my mom wanted, I was like, no, I'm going to go do this. And because I knew she was not a big sports person, not to say that that's not the reason why I joined sports, but it was a nice little like way to be competitive and embrace the tomboy side. But then when I started getting older, I just loved the camaraderie of just everybody working together towards one goal, and the feeling of winning. Like, there's really nothing like it when you win a championship game or any type of thing with a sport. And I feel like it's really hard to duplicate that type of feeling, except only in sports. So I guess honestly, it has to come from just growing up with a bunch of like little guys on my neighborhood street that kind of instilled that competitiveness in me that I could, like, you know, be one of the guys and stick with them. But just the opportunity again, like at Gwinnett elementary school and then Gwinnett high school, like having the chance to be on sports teams and to kind of keep that love going, which was awesome.
It's great.
So you've worked for a while in professional sports as a filmmaker. Has there ever been a famous sports figure you've ever met?
I would say probably the one that stands out the most is, I don't know if you ever guys saw the Adam Sandler Hustle movie that came out on Netflix a couple years ago. It was actually filmed in Philadelphia. We had the opportunity, this was when I was at just started ESPN, an opportunity to go to the movie set and do like a behind the scenes, because there were some NBA players that were going to be there, like Anthony Edwards. I think Tobias Harris from the Sixers at the time was going to be there. So we were trying to like get access to the athletes, but also kind of showcase the movie as well. So there was an opportunity to sit down with Adam Sandler, and I got to interview him for about 15 minutes or so. And it was kind of surreal because I would always watch a bunch of Adam Sandler movies growing up. Like Happy Gilmore, for example, like great movie.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite movies.
Right? It's awesome. So, but you always wonder, like, you know, are celebrities, like when you see them in a movie, are they just as cool when they're not acting? Total awesome guy, like funny, personable, very welcoming, very down to earth. So it was kind of cool to kind of see that, okay, what you're seeing on the screen is exactly how he is in real life. Cause I feel like sometimes it's not always the case. It's kind of they're acting to portray a certain character. And then just being, you know, being around the Phillies players when I would take photos for the Phillies, or when I was at NFL Films, got to interview a couple NFL players like Brett Favre back in the day. I'm trying to think. And obviously at the Sixers when I was there, you know, just being around all the guys when we would do like our all access shows, getting the chance to talk to Tobias and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons when he was on the team. But honestly, like it, the first time you meet somebody, like I remember when I was right out of college and I met somebody, it was this, whoa, like celebrity status. And then over time there, you just kind of realize they're just like everybody. They're just like us. They're humans. Yes, they may be famous, but they like the same things that we do. They eat the same things that we eat. They laugh at the same things that we laugh at. So it starts like the culture shock or the phase of I'm in somebody's presence kind of goes away. And then it's just kind of like everyday life.
So you currently work as a feature producer for ESPN. Could you give like a description of what your job is like?
That is a tough one because not every day is the same, but we will try to summarize exactly what we're doing. So our job is to basically tell stories at ESPN. We're considered storytellers, and we tell short and long form stories for a multiple of different shows here at ESPN. So if you're watching College Game Day, for example, on Saturday, if you're watching SportsCenter during the week, if you're watching the ESPYs or Special Olympics, any type of show that we have, it's our job as the features unit, which is about like 35 of us, to tell stories of either the athletes, the coaches, or an everyday person that somehow has a sports tie, and to tell their stories for those certain shows. So for example, as a producer, we have to find those stories, we pitch them to our bosses, and then hopefully they get greenlit where they say, that's a great idea, go produce it. So then that's going out in the field, being with camera crews, directing the camera crews on what kind of shots we want to get, interviewing people, and then coming back. And then it's our job as the producer, what's the story? How are we telling it? We got to listen to the interviews, craft together like all of the sound bites that we're getting from the interviews. And then from there, it's kind of come up with a vision, a creative vision of what is the first minute going to be? Like, what are my visuals? What pictures on the screen are the audience looking at? And then it's coming up with the music. So we're in charge of picking all of our music, the sound design, editing all the footage together. And honestly, just trying to like invoke some emotion when somebody's watching it. So trying to figure out, is it a funny piece? Like, do we want somebody to really laugh when they're watching? Is it an inspiring piece? Is it somebody's journey that they've gone through? So do we want to invoke sadness in the beginning, but then some triumph, like, because they've overcome adversity, for example? So it's honestly, it's just a way to like tell somebody's story and impact people. Because at the end of the day, like, we want people to see these stories and these videos of people's lives, and we want somebody to like take away something from a person's journey. So if you watched a piece on, let's say, like, high school basketball coach, our goal is for you to walk away and say, wow, like, that really touched my heart, or that really impacted me on maybe I can be a better person to somebody else based on what this guy's been going through. So that's kind of always the main goal, is to kind of impact others by sharing different stories and different journeys of everyday life people.
That's really cool that you get to be the person to like really bring that to the masses through, and like, yeah, help them tell their story too. Is there a certain project or like accomplishment that you are most proud of?
Well, I think you know which one I'm going to pick. It is 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. Time flies. But I found this gentleman. He was a high school basketball coach who was coaching his team while battling ALS. And for me, it was a personal story because I lost my mom to ALS. And at that point, I began to realize that I don't think a lot of people knew what ALS was. People know of it, but I think unless you don't go through it, it's kind of hard to gauge what the disease is. So the goal of mine was to always find some type of sports tie to ALS. So when I found his story online, I pitched the idea. Just so happened, one of our reporters here at ESPN was friends with him. So that's kind of how we got the connection and the conversation going. So we followed him throughout his entire season of coaching his team and ended up winning the entire championship, which couldn't ask for like the better ending, storybook ending. And I don't know, it was emotional going through it, because obviously like I saw like glimpses of my mom when I would watch him struggle at home, and remembering like, yeah, I remember when my mom would have trouble like trying to pick up a fork to like just eat her dinner, or like having like issues getting undressed or getting dressed and having somebody like help her, and then like watching his caregiver help him get dressed for practice. But it was very meaningful and really impactful. And I think a lot of people learned what the disease is and could also see that the disease does not define you. And again, just another example of that opportunity to tell his story. And it's not my story and it's not my, perspective, but it was, how can I help him? How can I get his story out so that others can learn about him and what incredible things he's doing for his basketball team? So I would rather do a story like that than do a story like on Patrick Mahomes, for example. And not to say like Patrick Mahomes is not, you know, his story has been told many times and he has a great story of how he got to be on the Chiefs. But for me, I would love to do pieces on like Joe Schmo in the corner in the coffee shop, or like somebody that works at a high school, because those stories you can really relate to and you can really put yourself in those shoes and think about, yeah, I've had an experience like that too. I totally understand like why he's thinking that way. So for me, I try to focus on like the everyday person of those type of stories because I just feel like those resonate a lot better.
Yeah, it was really cool to see your posts about that and like being able to kind of honor your mom in that way too. And yeah, it was a really fantastic project, and it was very much a proud Gwynedd moment.
Yeah, I never would have thought sitting in a Gwynedd classroom that the opportunity to do something like that would arise. So again, it just like speaks to the opportunities that Gwynedd gave the confidence, right? Going back to the confidence of learning how to be a leader and be confident in yourself, and it's all kind of come full circle.
So you've received a lot of recognition, Emmys, a Clio, a New York Film Festival Award. What is something you still want to accomplish?
Let's see. The awards are great, by the way. Awards are awesome, but that's not why we do this job. Just want to clarify that on this podcast. It's great. I think for me, the next thing I want to accomplish is I really feel like our world is in a health crisis right now. I feel like a lot of people are getting sick, and whether that's like cancer, autoimmune, I don't know. There's just something I feel like I'm talking to somebody and they're like, oh, my family member got diagnosed with XYZ, or I'm seeing something on the news where somebody else is getting really sick. So I would love for my next accomplishment is I want to try to find some type of sports tie to somebody that is, I guess, battling the health crisis, whereas they are healing their bodies naturally. I won't go out, like, I won't dive in too deep because if I start talking about health and wellness, we'll be here for hours. But I do think that there's something happening in the world where athletes in particular are learning how to take care of their bodies naturally, whether that's like through saunas, cryotherapy, taking supplements, eating certain foods, changing their diet. And I feel like they have a great platform so that if somebody's watching, let's say like LeBron James, like change his diet, probably like the person that's a Lakers fan may go, oh, well, if LeBron's doing it, like maybe I'll give it a try. So I kind of want to try to find some type of health angle next because I do think that, I don't know, I want to kind of get the word out that you can get healthy again by doing certain things instead of taking like antibiotics or, you know, relying on medicine in some situations.
That's a cool perspective, and I'm sure there's someone definitely someone you can find doing something really cool.
I've been searching for about a year and a half now. And like, and it has to be like the right story and the right
Right.
person. I don't, yeah. So it's been an ongoing process. Or the other story I really want to do is I would love to find a female athlete that's pregnant, but she's still playing. And we kind of miss our window. And this is because ESPN doesn't have rights to the Olympics because it's like an NBC rights copyright issue. But I don't know if you saw, but there was a woman that was fencing. Yeah, that was fencing while she was pregnant.
Yeah, that was so cool.
And I was like, man, like, I just wish like we would know about these things ahead of time. And if we could have followed her during the Olympics while she's pregnant, like that is awesome.
Right. That is really cool. And unfortunately, I feel like it's something you usually have to hide because, of judgment or also, in case something were to happen and all of that. But that is a really cool angle. I like that a lot.
Yeah, so hopefully that will come through at some point. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of stories I want to tell from the award perspective. I feel like when I was younger, I thought it was all about awards, and now that I've gotten more mature and a different perspective, I've realized, yeah, it's the awards are great, but when you see the impact on telling somebody's story, I think that's like the true award right there.
Overall, what would you say is your greatest motivator?
Oh man. I would say, and again, I feel like I'm a broken record, but the greatest motivator is making sure that you get the story right because the person that you're doing the story on is trusting you with access, with their vulnerability, their time to help them tell their story. So like for me, like when I get assigned a project, like I give like 110%, and that motivates me knowing that when this is over, the satisfaction of that person like being very happy with the project or being happy on how their story turned out, that's probably what motivates me the most. Or even going on social media and seeing the comments of, oh my gosh, that piece made me cry, or oh my gosh, because of this story, I'm going to go sign up and become an organ donor. Like I just did a feature on an organ donor a couple weeks ago, and it had over 1 million views on Twitter, which was insane.
Wow.
But again, I'm thinking to myself, like, how many people are watching this and how is it resonating? And then when you see the comments, like people being inspired again to go sign up and be an organ donor, and just raising awareness for that type of platform is huge. So it's like things like that that kind of keep you going and keep your perspective in check and helps you want to continue to do great things. Let's see. I would say, and I feel like this is also a very subjective question, depending on like the person and who they are. I think it's trying to get involved as much as you can in high school, because it could unlock some type of idea that maybe you wouldn't have considered. Or it could also unlock the way that you're going to gain a skill set, like moving forward on how to like handle situations. But again, like because Gwen had the opportunities to do all the video stuff, again, that just gave me confidence to listen to my dad about being a film major in college. But the only way for you to explore those things is if you get involved. Like, and again, Gwinnett's not going to force you to do things. So it's up to you to sign up or to be inquisitive and ask questions on, hey, what about this? Or, hey, can I do this? Like, it's kind of like those 4 years at Gwinnett is like your time to shine and like your time to make the most of it. And there really are a lot of resources at Gwinnett to really figure out what do I want to do with my future. But you have to take opportunity and you have to take advantage of those things that exist. So I would say do as much as you can. And even though sometimes it may be really stressful, like if you put too much on your plate, it's okay. It'll like you'll find a way to like balance it out. And it'll be worth it in the end, because I guess I'm kind of like a breeding point. Like I did all those things at Gwinnett and now it kind of set me up for success in the future.
It's fantastic. Well, Alex, this has been so great to talk to you and hear about all the amazing things that you're doing and how Gwinnett kind of helped you get there as well. And we're excited to see what you do next. So thanks for joining us today. We
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. Like I said, I got to come back for a tour. I got to see what the 411 is up at.
Absolutely.
Up at Gwinnett, and yeah, I gotta come back for career day. Like I know I've only done it remotely, but I want to come back in person because I want girls at Gwinnett to see that like this can be a career, which I feel like now there's some girls that Erin, you told me at Gwinnett that are starting to get more involved with video stuff, which is great.
Yeah, it's really cool. Like there's a whole internship just for like video or broadcasting for the sports, like any athletics and things, like girls who are doing like reporting, and it's like it's so cool. There's just so many opportunities, and they'd be really lucky to hear from you. So we'll definitely get you set up to come and speak and have you back. You can visit Brenna and her. She's interning at the school store because we have a whole new school store that's like beautiful and brand new. So
it's not a closet anymore.
Yeah.
Closet in the cafeteria.
Yeah. It moved with the renovation. It's new and like at least 3 times the size probably. So yeah, we have to get you back. And that would be awesome to do a visit.
Wanted gear to wear at ESPN. Like,
yes.
Good promotion when I'm in a meeting.
Exactly. And then like find your story here that you need to cover. We just had our new basketball head coach is an alum from my class. Maybe there's a story there. I don't know.
I noticed that flag football now is starting to become.
Yes. It is a huge thing. And it's like Gwinnett is kind of like making a name for itself there. So that's a good one too.
Because I started, somebody actually sent me an article and they're like, didn't you go here for high school? And I'm like, oh yeah. So I was like reading it. I think it was in the Inquirer. And so then I actually have a sticky note on my computer, like girls flag football high school question mark.
Yes.
Is something there? It's def. I think, gosh, didn't I read that it's now like officially sanctioned a sport now? Something along those lines.
Yeah, it's an official varsity sport. We just had last year our first student sign with a college to go for flag football.
Was that Krista?
Yeah, Krista Quinn. And her family actually helps coach here. And yeah, we're partnered with the Eagles and everything. So,
yep, I'm telling you, it's going to be something. So yeah, I will keep my eyes and ears open for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, we will let you go. This will hopefully get posted January. So I'll make sure you see it, and it'll be in the newsletter and everything. But thank you for doing this.
Of course.
It's been so great. And
yeah, no, I'm very happy to do it. And like I said, I really do want to come back and talk. So if there is a spot open, and depending on when it is, if it's hopefully not during football season, but would love to come back for sure.
Yeah, I'm working with because now we haven't done a standalone career day in a while, just with our schedule. But I've been working with our college counselors to try to bring in some speakers to talk to students during their college counseling seminar sessions to learn about different careers and stuff like that. So I think that'll probably be in the spring. So that might be
perfect. Good. Football will be over and the schedule is open. That's good.
Perfect. Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, have a good night, and I'll talk to you soon.
Cool. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.